It looks nice up here, doesn't it? It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. A lot of creativity and a lot of work went into that. Christmas is coming. Next week, actually, our kids are going to lead us in worship as part of our service Sunday morning. And then on the 17th, our worship crew will, in the evening, will be doing two concerts. It's going to be a great opportunity to invite friends, unchurched people. It'll just be a wonderful festive time. Happy Advent. It's good to see you. Let me read some scripture for you as we begin. This will sound familiar. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and all things were created through him. And apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness doesn't overcome it. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people didn't receive him. But to all who do receive him, even to those who believe in his name, they will be given the authority to be called the sons of God. They will be born not of natural descent, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. To as many as received him, even to those who believe. That's our word for this Advent, for this Christmas season. The word is believe. Now that's simple. Now think about it. Believe. We could have chosen a bunch of different words. We could have chosen joy or hope or peace. At Christmas time, all good words, words that you find in Christmas decorations or on your holiday coffee mug or maybe on a tree ornament, all good words. But in many ways, those words, joy, hope, peace, in a sense, are a fruit of the key word, which is believe. Without belief, those words are kind of shallow or maybe even precarious. Believe. It's the spirit, it's the calling of Christmas time. On so many levels. On the superficial level, on the profound level. Believe. On the secular level, on the sacred level. Believe. All those levels want a part of that theme of Christmas. Believe. A number of families came to this campus yesterday believing that despite their tight budget, they would actually get a real Christmas tree. Believing that perhaps there is still a spirit of generosity and goodness in our world. Next week, our children will be right here believing that they can bring joy and love to their church and even to their families through music. Even all of our holiday movies, think about them, are hinged on the idea of belief. Miracle on 34th Street, is that what it is? Is it 34th? I'm looking at my wife because last night I thought it was 42nd Street. That's a different movie. Miracle on 34th Street, believe. Even the Santa Claus, or my favorite Christmas movie, it's so profound, so philosophically deep, so theologically sharp, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That too hinges on belief. Clark Griswold is looking at his niece and telling her she has to believe in the Christmas magic. Or remember when he tells them that, hey, I just got a report that an airline pilot flying into New York just saw Santa and his sleighs, to which Cousin Eddie, who I think, by the way, in my vast studies of that profound movie, I think he's the hero of the movie. He embodies the Christmas spirit because he says, "You sure about that, Clark?" Behind his question, he was a believer. Belief. There's something about Christmas, there's something about Advent that beckons us to believe. Do you? In what? There's a plethora of options, you know. You can believe in Santa and flying reindeers. Great, make sure you're making the list. You can believe in ugly sweaters. And I can see some of you do. Even the belief of mistletoe. I've tried to research it. No one's really sure what that's all about. But what is that all about? You actually kiss strangers at your office or what? What's that? Believe. There's a lot of options. This Advent, our emphasis will be belief. Not in the realm of magical or make-believe, but in the realm of miraculous and mysterious. A realm that our secular, our modern world doesn't really like to go to very often. To them, the miraculous and the mysterious sounds more like flying reindeer and other make-believe things. But that's where we will go. To things like virgins who conceive and a God who becomes man. That's why belief is so important, and right belief is so important, because if you're not careful, it gets fuzzed into the idea of make-believe, a fairy tale. And for many, that's what Christians are. They're believers of fairy tales. That's what Christmas seems to be. Be careful of that. It reminds me of Alice's conversation with the Queen. When Alice asks the Queen, "How old are you?" And the Queen says, "I'm 101, 5 months, and a day." And Alice says, "I can't believe that." And the Queen says, "You can't? Try again. Breathe deeply. Shut your eyes. Try again and believe." To which then Alice says, "There's no use trying. One can't believe impossible things." And so the Queen responds, "I dare say you haven't had much practice. When I was younger, I always did it for half an hour a day. Why, sometimes I've believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast." For some, that's the Christmas faith. That's the Christian belief. It's fanciful. It's fairy tale-like. Just conjure it up, especially during Advent, and believe the impossible. Believe the magic. It's not fanciful. It's not magic. As a matter of fact, it's rather verifiable, though it is mysterious. The Apostle Peter, knowing that the story around Christ was so, in a sense, magnificent and unbelievable, that he would pen these words: "We have not followed cleverly devised myths or fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we have been eyewitnesses of his majesty." There is the rational there. There's the verifiable. We saw it. But there's also the mysterious, the miraculous, that this one born in Bethlehem came in power. He's the Lord.
Really?
Yeah. He's His Majesty. And the belief of Christmas and of Advent and of the Christian faith is a verifiable belief. We saw it with our eyes, but it has to have an element of the mysterious, of the miraculous. Otherwise, we ought to just believe in George Washington. There's something more profound than that. Advent 23 is all about belief. Even amid the familiarity that is Christmas. And here we go again. We're lighting candles. We're lighting trees. We're doing it all over again. And sometimes, let's face it, the familiarity can be, oh, yeah, born in a manger. Got it. Yeah. It's sort of like you go visit your friend who lives in New York City, and you say, I want to see the Christmas lights at Rockefeller Center. And your friend says, oh, no, I've seen it a million times. The miraculous story of Christmas can easily become slogans, trite sayings, he's the reason for the season. Whatever. I want to keep it from that. My goal of this series is not just to say believe and everyone say, yeah. Oh no. Let's really step back and go back to Rockefeller Center and say, whoa. We believe that? Whoa. We really believe that? Believe. So what is it I should believe? The object of the person of Christmas. That's it. The object of our belief ought to be the main character of Christmas. And throughout our four-week series of Advent, that's all we're going to do. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture, and we are going to look at a little section of the Nicene Creed made in 325 that was written specifically to say this is who Jesus is. Don't miss it. Don't grow tired of him. This is who Christ is. Our entire series will be that. If you can, and you can, from your heart, I hope, say that with me, would you please? Let's say it together. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. It's so important to get belief right that a group of church leaders in the fourth century got together and they wrote that. To say to the church for generations to come, this is what you must believe. This is a gift to the church. They poured over the scriptures, primarily the Gospel of John, but they poured over the scriptures to say, this is what you believe. Their words, this creed is a gift but it's also a warning because it's very common to miss the real Christ. It's easy to believe in the wrong object of Christmas and be so close. Charlie Chaplin, there was a Charlie Chaplin Little Tramp look-alike contest. So Chaplin said, I'm going to join it. So he got into the look-alike contest among all the other little tramps. He joined the contest. He came in second. It's really easy to be this close and wrong. It's really easy to miss the authentic for the look-alike. And that's why they wrote that. Believe. That's our theme this Advent. Because what you believe about Christmas and its central character determines your faith and determines your fate. I'll say it again. What you believe about Christmas and its central character determines your faith, this, and your fate. So what are we going to believe today? Here's our sub-theme for today. Of the same substance. That's what we're supposed to believe. That child born in that stable on Christmas morning or evening or whenever it was God. Human, absolutely. But completely and totally God. No magic, no make-believe, just miraculous and mysterious. The deepest of all mysteries, the greatest of all miracles, God became man. A 17th century poet put it this way: eternity put in a span. Eternity put in a span. Wow. God became man. The world had never heard of anything like that before. Oh, the mythologies and the religions had ideas. You had Greek gods masquerading as men now and then, right? But God became man. Of the same substance, Father and Son. You know, to try to get it right, and we Protestants don't like this phrase because we don't understand where it comes from. But to try to get it right, many, many years ago, the church gave Mary the title Mother of God. We don't like it because we think it sounds like she's God or she's older than God the Father. That wasn't the point. To call Mary the Mother of God was their way of saying that that which she conceived, that which she bore, was nothing less than the eternal God. You gotta get it right. Of the same substance. That's what we believe. What was born in the manger was fully human. Had to be. Bringing our humanity dignity. Had to be. So that he could die on the cross. But that born in the manger was also fully divine. So that death on the cross could have eternal benefits to the human race. Otherwise, he's just a martyr. But he came as a savior, fully God and fully man. So today, actually, if we let them, our Christmas carols can help. Remember, hark the herald angels sing? Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Don't you love that carol? You have to start low. Sing that line with me, those lines with me, could you? Veiled in flesh, the Godhead. Help. I stumbled on this one. I don't know if this is third verse, fourth verse. I love this verse. This comes right from the Nicene Creed, by the way. God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not created. And it's, O come all ye faithful. Remember how O come all ye faithful goes? O come all ye faithful. So that tune to those words, I don't know if you've ever sung it before. Give it a shot. Let's sing it together. God of God, light of God. Believe. What? That. The beauty, the mystery, the miraculous. God became man. That child was fully God. Here's the way the creed says it. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. The word begotten is kind of an odd word. We don't use it very often. Those guys are obviously studying John 3:16, and that's why they wrote it there. Begotten means to generate. And notice how they clarify what they mean by begotten. The only begotten Son of God. Go to the last line. Begotten, not made. Begotten, not made. There's a difference there. When you make something, what you are making is different than you. How many of you have already made Christmas cookies? Come on, you got to get to it. It's getting late. Sue makes this one cookie. There's no eggs in it. Before she can get it in the oven, I've eaten all the dough. There's like 79 sticks of butter in it. 23,000 calories per cookie, but they're really, really good. She's not the cookie. You make something different than you. A number of you ladies came a couple weeks ago and you made Advent wreaths. You make something, it's good to make something, but it's not you. To beget a child is for that child to have the exact same nature as the one begetting it. Are you with me? God is divine. He's eternal. He's holy. He begets the Son. What's the character of the Son? Divine, eternal, holy. Give me an illustration. Okay, they do. God from God. Wow, it's the same thing. Light from light. Let me just give you a bit better illustration. Light from light. Light, light. They're both light. Yes. True God from true God. They're both God. They're both true God. Of the same substance with the Father. Whatever divine stuff that the God the Father is made of, I'm speaking metaphorically, that's the same substance stuff that the Son is made of. You got it? Very God of very God, begotten of the Father. When did that occur? I want to say what the text says, before all ages. That's a timeless phrase. The Nicene Creed was written primarily because there was a man by the name of Arius. He was a bishop of Alexandria, and he went around saying, he even had bumper stickers on his chariot that said, there was a time when Jesus was not. Whoa, 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 whoa. That can't be right. So they studied, and they came up with that. He was absolutely wrong. Now he drives around with a chariot that says heretic. Jesus always, 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 always was. And he's of the same substance of the Father. And on Christmas Day, the divine word became flesh. Believe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Skip past John's words. Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side, he's revealed him. Believe. As many as received him, even to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become the children of God. C.S. Lewis said, God the Son became man so that men might become God's sons. Believe. Believe that Christ took on flesh to dignify our humanity, to die for our humanity, and as being fully God, to give our humanity the hope of forgiveness and eternal life. Believe. This comes from Frederick Buechner, and after this, I'm done. There is nothing much humbler than being born naked, totally helpless, not much bigger than a loaf of bread. And yet he came to us. For us, he came. Is it true? Not just the way fairy tales are true, But as the truest of all truths, Almighty God, are you true? And Sunday, it's easy to say, yeah, I got it. On Tuesday, and life gets hard, that's my hope. Belief transcends Sunday for an hour. When you are standing up to your neck in darkness, how do you say yes to that question? You say yes, I suppose, the only way faith can ever say it, if it is honest with itself. Sometimes you say yes with your fingers crossed. You say it with your heart in your mouth. Maybe that way you can say yes. He visited us. The world has never been quite the same. It is still a very dark world, in some ways darker than ever before. But the darkness is different because he keeps getting born into it. The threat of Holocaust, the threat of our own deaths, the broken marriage, the child in pain, the lost chance. Anyone who has ever known him has known him perhaps better in the dark than anywhere else, because it is in the dark where Christ seems to visit most often. I believe in Jesus Christ, only begotten Son of God, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father and our God, I pray right now that you would give us the grace to believe, to truly trust you, your story, your Son's redemption on our behalf, to truly believe that the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, was born in Bethlehem, fully human, that I might know you. Give us the grace, please, to believe that. And then in believing that, give us the grace to cast away the works of darkness in our world, in our hearts, and help us put on the armor of light now in the time of our mortal lives which your Son came to visit in great humility. Give us that grace so that in the last day when Christ shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we also may rise to life eternal. We pray this through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.